It's Hugh's song?
Sir, you, this is Beach Boys, right?
That's correct.
You ever surf?
No, I ain't never surfed.
That would be a sight.
It would be a sight.
My big ass surfing. No, I ain't about to do that. I'm not.
What if we did midday show surfing lessons?
Just for you, though.
No, I'll do it, too.
Okay. Wait a minute. No, Francisco, since you got a lot to say, you surfing, too. If I got to go, you going.
Yeah, I tried to skateboard back in the day.
No, I ain't no trying to hit that. Yeah, no. You going. If I go, you going.
I don't think any of us would do it well, but like, what's the worst that happens in a lesson? You fall down?
You get eaten by a shark or something.
Oh, come on.
Have you ever seen those, videos?
You guys got to stop with shark stuff.
They have, like, surf places where we don't have to be in an actual ocean to do it.
That's lame, though.
That's why I'm going the real thing.
No, we got to do the real thing.
No, I'm not agreeing. I'm not getting in the water. I'm not doing that. My daughter coined a phrase. I forgot what it was called, but it's not afraid of water. It's afraid of water that you can't see your feet in. It's the murky water.
Yeah, we could simplify this to you're afraid of the water. I mean, we don't.
No, it's the murky water. I'm not afraid of water. I mean, I can swim.
I never said you couldn't swim.
No, but you know, most they think part of the reason most black folks don't know how to swim. I know how to swim.
I didn't say that.
No, you don't have to say it. I mean, it's a common, you know, people commonly think that most, you know, black folks don't know how to swim. Well, I know how to swim.
I just think you're afraid.
Just choose not to
swim. I
mean,
you're afraid of eels and the whale in Lake Tahoe.
Jellyfish? Jellyfish
like,
too?
I'm afraid of anything that I can't see swimming up to me. Like, see, that's the thing y'all tend to be. Y'all jump in that water and y'all don't know what's underneath that water. You don't know what's in that water. You know what I mean? The Goliath grouper could eat you. Like Goliath grouper didn't eat people.
Come on,
Goliath
now.
Goliath grouper.
What's that?
Goliath grouper. Yeah, grouper. Goliath grouper. Yeah, I'm saying it right.
Is that a thing? Like, what is
it's
it?
It's a fish.
Really? It's a
You've
real thing?
You've never had grouper?
No.
You've never eaten grouper.
You ever been on a Clearwater, friend?
No, I need to get down.
Yeah, you'd like it. I mean, you're a baseball guy.
And
but also,
Goliath grouper.
Grouper is like
it's an ambush
every
fish.
Restaurant has grouper down there because it's in the water.
It's an ambush fish. And that's some nice. Grouper is it have gotten up to like 800 pounds.
You know what that sounds like me? Like a lot of good tacos, man.
No, dude.
Sounds like a lot of tacos.
Grouper
tacos are good.
Yeah, I mean.
I love that in Clearwater.
All right. I mean, sharks ain't the only thing that can eat you. That's my point. Other stuff.
Thank you. All the shore businesses right now are like, Hugh, shut up, man.
Yeah.
Everyone turns their car around.
Nobody. Listen, some folks have been going to the shore for so long. Ain't nothing I could say or do. Can deter them from going to the shore.
Also, they know you're ridiculous. I mean, nothing's going to eat you. You're going to be fine.
It gets personal. So they're in the car talking to the kids. Like, Mom and Dad, what is Hugh talking about?
Yeah,
well, son, Hugh's an idiot. So don't pay attention to what he's saying. He's an idiot.
I feel like per capita, we get more of that on our show than any other.
Yeah, definitely.
What is Joe saying? He's an idiot. Don't listen to him.
Hugh, he's just afraid of the water. These guys are idiots.
All right, quickly before we get to the phone calls and Ranger Suarez. Hugh, we had a blockbuster NFL trade this morning that I think we didn't really realize the scope of.
No, we just throwing out names.
Well, we broke the news earlier of that Jalen Ramsey was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was the initial kind of wave of the news. And that's a big deal, right? Jalen Ramsey's been one of the NFL's best corners for a long time. And, you know, we heard that he wanted out of Miami. It seemed like they were trying to find a place to dump him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was going to move on, right? That we kind of knew already. And he goes to the Steelers. My first thought was, oh, the Steelers really are trying to load up, right?
They're trying to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, they got Rodgers. He did say last week he's got 1 year left. I don't know how good he is anymore. But they're trying to put as much as they can around him. It's a really interesting team with all these big personalities. Now, DK Metcalf, Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey. But, Hugh, that wasn't the only part of the trade. And we got a rare now, and this is very rare in the NFL, player for player kind of trade, star for star kind of trade. This is more of like a basketball thing than you see in pro football. So here was a trade that went down this morning. The Steelers get Jalen Ramsey, tight end John Smith, and a 7th-round pick. The Dolphins get a 5th-round pick and Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, Minka for Jalen Ramsey is really the headline there. I don't remember the last time I saw two players this good get traded for each other. The only thing I could think of is Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey were once traded for each other.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen in football
much. No, not at all. And I was thinking that when I first heard it, I was like, well, maybe they couldn't pay Minka. Like, that was my first thought when I thought about it, him leaving the squad, was that they couldn't pay him.
Who do you think won the trade? I mean, I really like Minka Fitzpatrick as a player.
I do too, but I like Jalen Ramsey and who's Slay together.
And they also have Porter, Joey Porter's son, as a corner too. He's a first round pick.
They got them. They got those guys. They always had a pretty decent defense. And then they got the tight end for another target for
Jonnu Smith. Yep.
Yeah, they got another target for what's his name? Funny acting dude,
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, they look like they're trying to push all in to make a playoff run. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh fans should be excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they are. I mean, they're trying. It's just, it's a weird, it's kind of a non-Steelers thing. They don't usually trade for big names or sign big names. They usually kind of draft and develop, but they've gotten Metcalf and Rodgers. We'll see what happens. Hey,
they might, Coach Tomlin might be on the hot seat.
Well, that might be why they're doing it. They have a little bit of Dream Team Eagles feel to them, where remember the Eagles went all in 2011 and they brought all those guys in and it didn't really work. I doubt it's going to work the way the Steelers want, but certainly an interesting NFL trade, player for player, with some picks involved. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh, before we go back to the phones on the Phils, Ranger Suarez.
Ranger.
We need to talk about what we're seeing here, Hugh, because you want to take a victory lap on this one. You could do
Ranger.
It.
Well, I'm not. I mean,
you can. I mean, you were steadfast that Ranger Suarez. Well, God, there it is. I like how seconds after, I'm not going to take a victory lap. I try to tell you.
Go ahead. Peacock around. No, I'm just trying. Try to tell you.
Tell us what?
Try to tell you that you might want to sign this cat because he's hungry. But to Kyle's point, shout out to Kyle. I think Kyle would probably feel differently now about Ranger, but he still probably wouldn't sign him because he would probably be in the wheelhouse where if he's pitching this well now, how well is he going to pitch in the playoffs if he signs now?
Let it play out.
Yeah, let's let it play out.
So I understand that, but we're reaching a point where it's like, how do you just let this guy go? And this is how good he's been. Let me hit you with a couple of things I saw this morning. So yesterday, he dominated the Braves, right? It was his fifth straight outing of at least seven innings. Ten straight of at least six innings. This isn't like a five-inning pitcher now. We're talking about a guy that goes as deep into the game as anyone in baseball.
And you need that right now, too.
With the bullpen, you're totally right. And then there's this. He has a 1.19 ERA over his last 10 starts. It is the lowest ERA. I want you to hear this. It's the lowest ERA by any Phillies pitcher over a 10-game stretch since Cliff Lee in 2011. That means the best of Nolan never did this. The best of Wheeler never did this. The best of even Ranger last year never did this. The only other Phillies pitchers with a sub 1.2 ERA in a 10-start span since the mound was lowered in 1969, Roy Oswalt in 2010, and Steve Carlton in 1972. We're talking about as great of a stretch as we've ever seen a Phillies pitcher have. That means Curt Schilling never did this. It means Roy Halladay never did this. It means Zach Wheeler never did this. I mean, those three guys, you might say, are the three most dominant Phillies pitchers over extended periods in the last 40 years. No one has done what he's done outside of Oswalt and Carlton. This is pretty remarkable stuff. And 2 months ago, it was a legitimate thing, like, should he go to the bullpen? Should they trade him? They have no choice now. He's in the rotation the whole way through.
Yeah, and that's what he wanted. You know, we were talking about earlier who was going to put in the bullpen. I knew he wasn't going because this was his contract year. And to Kyle's point, he's pitching like a man who's pitching, you know, for his big deal.
Yes.
And you need to let that play out to a certain extent. Like, there's probably some validity to the fact that if you would have signed him early, how would he play like this? But the more you have him out there, man, the more you realize how important he is to this team. So, yeah, you need to get him signed.
Well, what now feels like an issue, and I didn't think it was going to become one, is can they even afford both him and Schwarber in free agency? I mean, before the season, you would have felt like...
I mean, you could.
But will they be able to get both done? I mean, Rangers moving to a different stratosphere. I mean, like, before the season, if you would have asked me how much money Ranger Suarez was going to get in free agency, I would have said, I don't know, $50 million, $60
million. No, you're talking about a hundo?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got Scott Boras as agent, and he's dominating the league. And in fact... When the All-Star teams are announced, I guess it is, what, a couple weeks from now or this coming Sunday, whenever they announce the teams, Ranger Suarez has a legitimate case to make the All-Star team for the second straight season. So, I mean, this is a great thing for the Phillies because it's part of the reason why they're a World Series contender. They have this guy in their rotation, but it's also like, uh-oh, how are they going to handle this?
They got money.
They do have money.
So, I mean, it's not, you know, it just all depends.
But both?
Yes.
These are two $100 million players right now.
I think it's going to come down to... Honestly, how the end of the season goes. Like, what happens in the postseason? And if they poop the bed, say, for instance, if
them, the Ranger or the team?
The team. Because I don't, Joe, you can't run it back again. Like, if this team fails miserably like they did in the last couple of seasons, you can't run it back. You can't. And I think that as much as we like Schwarble and Ranger, they're probably going to be looking to move on and change some things.
So I think the sentiment people would agree with, like, change the team up. But could you imagine this team without Ranger and Schwarber? They would not be close to first place. I mean, this has been the...
You're right, but how can you warrant running it back? Because the guys that we're looking at that you would probably want to move on from.
Castellanos, Bohm, those kind of players.
Them.
Well, right.
You can't move them. And how do you sell to this fan base re-signing one of the best hitters that you have on the roster and the best pitchers and running it back again? See, that I think that's the problem. That's the problem that you're facing, because there are certain guys that you can't move on from, you know, and to run it back like that, I don't think the fan base would be okay with that.
Yeah, I would. When the season started, I was very accepting and resigned to the idea Ranger would probably play in a different uniform next year. To the fact that we were talking about potentially trading him during the season to help the teams get an outfielder. I thought starting or bullpen, whatever this year, you know, and he's not going to be here next year. They've already kind of moved on in their minds because they have Sanchez and they have Luzardo and they've got Painter coming and Abel, but the way he's pitched, it's like, I don't want to see him in a different uniform. I want Ranger to be here. Ed is in Flower Town. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ed. What's up?
Yeah, I was calling about Ranger, especially yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Phillies' strength is their starting pitching. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Without question.
The pitching 1 and 1A is Wheeler and Ranger. Maybe Ranger's 1A.
Over the last 10 starts, he's been as good as any pitcher in all of baseball.
But for the last 3 years, he's been very solid. Mm-hmm. My problem with Rob Thompson is Ranger is dominating yesterday, cruising after a home run in the second. He's cruising. In the seventh inning, he threw 6 pitches. He is under 100. You want to try and get to the ninth inning or at least 8 innings out of him. Rob Thompson can't wait to throw 2 relievers. 1 reliever is not going to have it. We barely escaped the victory because he can't let Ranger go 8 innings.
Yeah, Ed, I thought the same thing. I mean, if you had played that out differently, if you tried Ranger in the eighth, you could have, if he got through it, then just had Kirkering for the ninth, and it would have been a way easier kind of victory yesterday.
That's what you want to do. You want it to just 1 reliever. Okay, 2 is, you know, you always, I mean, they could have easily blown that. They came in the ninth inning. There were 2 bombs to the right field, center field fence.
Yep.
That would have been a crushing loss.
Oh, of course. I mean, it would have been devastating because that would have meant they would have lost 5 out of 6 on the strip.
Only what this mattered to do is pay attention to the game, not when you figure it out before the game started. You're going to do 7 innings or 8 innings. Well, we have 6 pitch innings. Let him go another inning. He's your stud.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It didn't seem like he was laboring. Now, his velocity was a little bit down yesterday, and we appreciate it, but obviously it didn't affect him. He dominated the game. I think Topper's got a tightrope. He's got to walk every night because what our last caller said, I absolutely agree with. Like, the less we see of the bullpen, the happier I am. At the same time,
you don't want to burn your starting pitching out.
Wonder that. I mean, the Phillies, as much as we think sometimes that Topper takes them out early, if you look around the rest of baseball, our starters pitch more than anybody, right? Like, they pitch well.
They're going long, too.
They pitch better than everyone, and they pitch longer than everyone. I mean, that's just, they routinely go into the sixth and seventh inning. Most starting rotations don't have this. Like, most teams have 1 guy. The Phillies have 4 of them that we get a lot of innings out of.
So, and it's not a necessity, to be totally honest.
It's not a luxury. But I do wonder about that. Like, are they in the back of their mind thinking, like, hey, this is an important game to win, but how am I going to keep these arms fresh all the way through October? That's a tough balance.
Yeah, it is. And we've seen that. Like, we've had runs where the last couple of seasons where the pitching has been phenomenal, and in the playoffs,
yeah,
it goes south. And to have the pitching go south and the hitting – that's not a good combination.
Well, that's how you go in 4 games like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't have that. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's
good, Richie?
On,
what's on your mind today?
Yeah, last time I spoke to you, we were talking about Baum maybe getting out of third base, and he's turned it around. You know, if you think things are bad when you say you're watching, you know, your team right now, in New York, man, the lines are like on fire. It's like Lindor's in the dumps, and obviously the pitching staff has been hurt. I've talked to you before. I'm a San Francisco Giant fan. I watch these games, guys. When you're watching baseball for 162 games, you're going to be more frustrated than not. You just are. You got a good football team. You got to deal with it 16 games. You know that.
Yes.
So, but the course of a year, you're going to have these funks. I predict that your team is definitely, and my second team is the Mets, but your Phillies are going to win this because of your starting pitching. The Mets can't survive losing their latest pitcher. Losing Sanger's a question mark. McGill is down. Their bullpen, their Holmes giving them 5 innings. You know, Joe, you mentioned about going. My team has two guys to get to the seventh inning, sixth and seventh. That's Webb and Robbie Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And Verlander's been pitching well, too. But, yeah, it's frustrating to watch. And there's no dominance. There really isn't. You know, other than the Dodgers that were supposed to win 100 games, Detroit's been a real surprise. You know, you win 90, 95 games, and this day, Gaze, you're banging your head against the wall. So you've got to accept the good and the bad. And again, just to end it, then with the Mets, I don't see a light at the tunnel because I don't know what their pitching is. I know Blackburn is not a good pitcher. I know Montas is not. You got four studs. You got to pick up a bullpen guy, which there's six guys or four guys in Colorado, Joe. There's guys that bullpen arms are out there.
Oh, I know. It's the one thing, Richie. It's the one thing, and we saw it. We've seen it every year. But like, I remember the Nationals team that won the World Series in 2019. Like, their bullpen was terrible, and they fixed it. If you have something you need to fix, the bullpen is the easiest one to fix at a trade deadline.
Absolutely, and you guys will hit better. I mean, Harper, people are saying in New York that he's babying it. You touched on that. I don't know. But I think Harper knows his body. And I think Harper's a gamer, and I think he wants to come back and be 100% healthy. So this wild card race is going to be crazy. I don't even know if the Mets are going to hold up. I don't know if my Giants are going to hold up. The Brewers have been really good, obviously, the Cardinals, the Padres. It's really, really great. But the streaks of just sitting there and the ineptitude will drive you crazy. So you got to try to enjoy it. Otherwise, don't watch it. You'll hate baseball.
Well, I love baseball, so I'll keep watching. Richie, appreciate it. I mean, Hugh, he's not wrong in that. All these teams have flaws, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Phillies' record is not that much different than the other good teams. They're all within, like, 5 games of each other because there's a lot of good teams, but there's also, like, all these teams have some problems. The Phillies aren't the only ones. I'm watching the Phillies every day, and we're all watching the offense every day, and we're watching the bullpen every day, and it drives you up a wall. I mean, I understand his point. He's right. They're not the only team with some flaws. But boy, we're paying attention to the Phillies' flaws, and they're there.
Yeah, and it's for us, it's the flaws that we've seen rear their ugly head.
Yes.
Every time, you know, for us in the postseason,
it's cost them a championship.
Yes, and that's why it's annoying, nerve wracking, frustrating to us.
I think it's one of those things where if this was the first year they were contending, right? If this was like they came out of nowhere, we'd
accept it.
Yeah, and we'd be saying, all right, like they patched this up, they patched that up, they're going to be okay. But it's more than that. I mean, it's been a consistent thing with this team for years that their offense has gotten, I would call it, worse over time. Now, he mentioned Bryce Harper, and he, you know, coming back here. Are we expecting, if he's activated tonight, Bryce to be Bryce?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. I know it might sound like a lot, but we've seen this before.
Like,
we've seen Bryce come back before and knock one out of park. He came back when he started playing first base. Did a phenomenal job playing at first base.
He did.
So, I mean, yes. I don't think it's far-fetched or I'm being, you know, over the top by expecting him to come out there and being Bryce Harper.
So I'm going to ask a question that seems silly, but I need to ask.
What do I think Bryce Harper is?
Yeah, and on June 30th, 2025, what is Bryce Harper? Like, for his career, he's a Hall of Famer, one of the better hitters for 12 years now in the major leagues. What is he now?
A shot in the arm for this offense.
Well, okay.
Well, I mean,
He's better than Buddy Kennedy, but I mean, I'm sure.
You wanted specifics?
Do you think he's going to be better than he was before he went on the injured list?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I need.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that he's going to be the Bryce Harper we expected him to be.
So more of kind of like the guy he's been as a Philly, one of
yes.
the better hitters in baseball.
Yes.
You expecting that, Fran?
Yeah. I mean, he was dealing with this first thing for a while.
Yeah.
So I think so. He'll come back and be a better version of himself.
So that, you know, the kind of Bryce Harper they get back, if it is tonight, we don't know that yet, but a lot of reports are indicating it could be as early as tonight. That's a big, you know, whatever that is a big thing to inform what they need at the deadline. Like, if he's Bryce Harper that we've known most of his time with the Phillies, that's a huge shot in the arm, right?
Yes.
That's an MVP caliber bat, or at least an all-star caliber bat. If he's the Bryce he was the first 2 months of the season, that certainly helps. I mean, it's clearly better than Buddy Kennedy and whatever they're throwing out in the lineup right now. But it's like, okay. He wasn't exactly raking before he left.
No, he wasn't. I know what you're saying. And I'm picking out what you're putting down. But from what we've been told or what we've been led to believe, he was kind of banged up
right
before he left.
He was dealing with it for a while.
So now he's not 100%, but he's comfortable enough to feel like he can go out there and contribute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I expect him to be the Bryce Harper old. Yes.
Well, that, you know, if he is that, it certainly changes how dire the need is for a bat. I mean, they still need another bat to help, but that would be a huge boost if we get him back tonight. And this is a big stretch of the season. I mean, the last caller mentioned all the wild card teams bunched up. They play them all. Padres, Reds, Padres, Giants into the break. All right, 215-592-9494. For your phone calls here coming up on the Phillies. Are you allowing yourself to enjoy the season? I've struggled to. As much as their record is good, and they're in first place, and the Mets are in a way worse spot right now, I've struggled to enjoy the season fully because I see the flaws. Even a win like yesterday, I felt like crap when the game ended. I was like, Strom almost blew that. They didn't get a single hit with runners in scoring position. I felt like crap. I got Hugh over here saying things are fine, and it's okay.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here except the flaws in the team. Have you enjoyed this Philly season? 215-592-9494. A lot of other things to discuss. DeCam reverse Fritz, who is the favorite now? We'll get to something I noticed, and we talked about in the meeting before the show today, about a certain player on the Phillies who was in the lineup yesterday, and maybe he shouldn't have been. We'll explain that next. Plus, your phone calls on all these things, and is going to the shore for a week of vacation.
Mm-mm.
It clearly is. Mm. Everyone, but, well, I'd say most people agree. Hugh does not. Where do you come down on that? Your phone call's coming up. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield just dropped something special, everybody. A marinated carnitas. It's boneless, and it's a pork roast. It's tender, juicy flavor for days. This isn't your average pork roast, people. Mm-mm. This is next level. The new Hatfield marinated carnitas pork roast is perfect for Sunday dinner or whenever you want to feel like a hero without breaking a sweat. Trust me. You're going to want to grab one. Put some pork on your fork. Hit up simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Hatfield, better care, better pork.